the EFL. It's the Football League podcast that's on the riz. Today, go Wes. Wonder goals from Hurt and Burns. Latte Lath can't make whites flat. How's about Wednesday's chances of a great escape? And a League One game on FA Cup second round weekend. Cobblers. Powered by Quinbet. This is What the EFL. Hello, listener. You heard me say the podcast that's on the riz. Now, I'm sure you know why I did that. I've got Adrian Clark and Sam Parkin with me. I wonder if they do. Clarky, riz has been named by the Oxford English Dictionary as the word of the year. Can you hazard a guess as to what it means? I'll give you a clue. We're a bit too old to know.
I have not got a clue. Did you say we're on the riz?
Yeah. I
would have said that it's like we're on the sort of party trail. That's
yeah, you'd think so because it's like on the raz. I mean, yeah. On the riz is not really the context you'd use it in, so I've not helped you there. Sam, give me a guess. What does riz mean to young people?
No idea. I just presumed you were saying on the rise, but
but it got it a bit wrong.
Yeah.
That was actually very clever from me. It's internet slang for romantic appeal or charm. There you go. Take that back to the missus, both of you tonight, and say I'm on the riz.
Sam's got plenty of riz. Is that how we'd use it?
That's how you'd use it in a sentence. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's true, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm out next Friday. I just told you off air. I'll be using that.
Rizzing it up all around the south. Right, that's enough of that. We've tweeted a poll from our account this weekend asking which was your favourite of the two worldies scored in the championship. Let's hear those two goals.
Conor Chaffin looking to play that early switch ball, and he has found Leif Davis. And Davis now with the chance to move forward, looking for options ahead of him. Clips it out to the right hand side. Here's Wes Burns. Clark on the overlap. Burns cuts in field. Inside the penalty area. Oh! Wes Burns!
Sizemore going to win over Rotherham. 3-2 win over Norwich. And that's dispossessed. He's gone for it, Hood, and he's scored. That is absolutely unbelievable. I cannot believe that. From a centre-back, from all of 40, 50 yards. And Wesley Hurt has just scored the goal of his life.
So it was Wesley's Hurt and Burns. I can tell you, at the time of recording, Burns is walking away with it. He's got 82% of the vote, including one from yours truly. Properly magical goals, though. Clarkie, did you vote for Wes Burns as well?
I did, yeah. And if you want to have a little cheeky vote, get yourself on Twitter X. It's at EFL What The. That's our handle. And if you want to follow us on Insta and TikTok, it's just at What The EFL. So, a poll debut for our social media feed today. We're getting right with it, aren't we?
Thinking about it, Sam, at first I was like, obviously it's Burns, but the placement of Hurts means there's a debate to be had there. And also I know everybody loves goals where it kisses the crossbar. Never been a fan of that personally. I like it when it just hits the net, doesn't hit the ground before it hits the net, just ripples along the net. And Hurts did that. Beautiful.
I think I knew that you like that type of goal, Matt. I think you've been quite vocal about that in the past.
It's almost like we've done about 3,000 podcasts together, isn't it?
Listen, I'm going to talk about these two goals in detail in the body of the podcast, so I don't want to go too big here, but Garnacho's goal the other day got me off my seat shouting weird stuff, and Wes Burns did the same. Yeah, I mean, that is just poetry. Great move as well.
You know what the kids would call that? Sick, isn't it? It was sick.
Yeah. The bend on it, the amount of bend is just unbelievable. There used to be a goal, I can't actually tell you which World Cup it was because it was prior to me being born, but I think it's 74 or 78, I think. There's a Brazilian goal. It might not even have been in the World Cup, sorry, listeners, but there's a Brazilian goal that me and the childhood friend used to watch over and over again outside of the right foot, similar position, which was just like a boomerang. And this Wes Burns goal is just astonishing. I spoke to an Ipswich fan at the weekend. Best goal he's probably ever seen, I think, from an Ipswich player. And that's the kind of standard we're talking about here.
Both were absolutely drenched in riz. I think we could say that.
Hoyts is too loopy. Come on. It's too loopy. It's too high. I want it clipped. It's too high.
All right, the Championship took centre stage this weekend. We'll get there imminently. But first, how about this? Our friends at Quinbet have enhanced their UK welcome offer. You can now get a free bet worth up to £35. It is for new customers that sign up only. Check out the full terms and conditions at quinbet.com/promotions or use the link provided. It's 18 plus, and remember, always gamble responsibly. All right, we'll head into the Championship next. And let's start with the leaders who kicked off the Saturday action. Leicester City running out 2-1 winners at West Bromwich Albion, thanks to Harry Winks' 94th minute clincher. Clarky, I watched the second half of this. It was pretty low wattage lunchtime fare for the most part, until the late drama. And this is one of those where you say, well, that's what champions do, isn't it? You know, they conceded late and they scored even later.
Yeah, it feels that way, doesn't it? It's a big, big win. And I think you could tell from the celebrations from Leicester City's fans, players and the head coach, Maresca, that he really, really wanted this win. That was a tough game. It's a really hard game. Obviously, I'd seen West Brom win at Cardiff in the flesh a few days earlier. You know, really solid team. They give you precious little. And in the game, they probably nullified Leicester as well as anyone has this season. I think they're... You know, that there were more loose passes by Leicester in this game than in any of the previous matches. And that's down to this good organisation. And I think Yokoslu had a good game for the Baggies. So this was a real test for them. And ultimately, you've got to say that the Foxes passed it. Keenan Dewsbury Hall. I mean, kid can play, can't he? He can play. He's not ever going to be a Vinicius Junior, or, you know, he's probably not going to pull off a Travella, and we'll get into more on that a little bit later. But as an effective, efficient player, I don't know if there is one in the Championship for sure. Just fantastic. I mean, how many times is he going to steam into the box and get on the end of crosses this season and score big goals? I mean, this was another one. And then, of course, with that late breakaway where West Brom, no matter what Corbrand says, he says no regrets, but they've got to regret it. They've got to. That would have been a big point for them, to put so many people forward for that long throw in and to get undone by a 3-1 in injury time. It is criminal. And I'm caps in that. It is criminal in capital letters because they've just gifted a point to the opposition. But that said, Keenan Dewsbury Hall still had to run an awful long way, and he still had to play the right pass at the right time with the right weight. And he did it. And Harry Winks still almost missed it at the near stick, but he got it in the end. And yeah, it was what a way to win the game. I'm sure Sam's played in games where you've broken away and scored one at the end of a game to seal a three-pointer. It doesn't get much better, especially with it being a little bit of a derby game too.
Those 15 minutes, half an hour periods in the dressing room after a late win are the best days, honestly. Some of the best feelings, I think, have just come in those moments. Been incredible. So yeah, they'd have enjoyed that, you know, the context of that game against, as Clark says, I think a much improving week after week on side. Brilliant victory. Enjoyed him going up to do his post-match chat with Sky in his kit, Harry Winks. And while we're on the subject of Riz, I think I've always thought Harry Winks, you know, must be right up there in terms of handsome East End. Is he East End? I don't even know, but he's got plenty of Riz, I think, Harry Winks.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the same about Danny Roll. Maybe we'll get onto that.
Clean cut, isn't he? He's clean cut, Harry Winks.
I always just think if he wasn't turning out for Spurs and now Leicester, it's got Towie written all over it. He could have been a fantastic wingman for Mark Wright. Maybe he is a wingman of Mark Wright.
Exactly. Yeah, I could see him hanging out with Mark Wright. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Jeff Brazier back in the day. Would have been pals with Winksy. Bumped into Jeff Brazier the other day at Arsenal. Full of praise. Said, yeah, it's really nice. He just made a point of coming up to me. Said, oh, keep reading your stuff or listening to your bits. Really, really good, mate. Keep it going. I was like, all right. And then he's gone. Gone in the blink of an eye. But that was quite nice. But yeah, no, this is a big...
That's a nice food vlog, Clarky, if you want to repay the favour. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't have time to compliment him back on obviously his wonderful, wonderful head of hair and the success his boys are having on Strictly. But yeah, we didn't get as far as that. But yeah, now West Brom are solid. They missed Carl Bartley, and I think that was quite big here. He was out injured, and obviously Jed Wallace is out as well. So it was a slightly rejigged Baggy team. Sarmiento, who'd been brilliant, and I wanted to talk about him after the Cardiff game. Wonderful goal in that match. Really positive, direct player. I think he was more central in the game and did all right for West Brom. But ultimately, Leicester are just a slight level above. And I think they're going to score a lot more goals than West Brom will between now and the end of the season. And that's why they'll finish above them. But yeah, this was a good competitive game that I think Cor Brown and his team can take confidence from.
Yeah, so they're fifth. West Brom only lost two of their last eight. They might be without Matt Phillips for a while. He limped off here. Leicester showing their strength as well. Cody, Vardy, Suter, Chowdhury, all unused subs here. Ipswich remain within touching distance of Leicester after the Tractor Boys harvested another home win, this time against Coventry. That Wes Burns stunner proved the difference in the end. It means Ipswich have won 9 of 10 at Portman Road in the league. Sam, you two keep telling me that Ipswich need to sign a defender in January. They've conceded more goals than the rest of the top six, but they've got no such issues at the other end, right? 41 league goals, by far the most in the division. Good fun, basically, if you've got a season ticket at Portman Road this season.
It's more than that. It's better than that, Matt. I was there last Wednesday. I can't remember being that excited, that impressed with a Championship team in recent years, honestly. I love being back there, first and foremost. I saw some former teammates of mine and everyone was so friendly. And obviously my time there was a bit miserable. But the 45 minutes I witnessed against Millwall the first half, my goodness me. It's just the way they're coached. It's the cohesion. It's the patterns. It's the same week after week, but teams just can't live with them. There's a few little points I wanted to make about the shape of the team. And I think it was relevant to this victory as well over Coventry. Obviously, the Wes Burns goal comes from a lovely passing sequence. And the role in it of Chaplin, I wanted to highlight really. He's playing essentially as a number 10, where they play two number 10s because Broadhead is listed as wide left, but he plays in the pocket as well. So they kind of got a box midfield. Broadhead, I think, stays quite high and gets involved, obviously, at the point of attack and can score goals from there. Chaplin basically goes everywhere, and he is their most important player. He goes very deep in his own half, highlighted by obviously the switch of play that led to Wes Burns' goal. And just watching Chaplin, what he's matured into. I mean, he's only 26, Connor Chaplin. He seems to have been around forever. But I think for Kieran McKenna to recognise his importance and put so much onus on him just shows you the individual work that McKenna's doing with the players, improving them. So there's that. There's Leif Davis down the left-hand side. I think he's tied for the most assists in a division now. The partnership of Luongo and Morsi in midfield, those two are brilliant together. And coming on to Saturday's game, Hurst playing down the middle. I think he is absolutely perfect for this team. Someone athletic, someone who can run, not someone who's obsessed with coming towards the ball. So they've got absolutely everything. And you speak about the defensive deficiencies. The last two games, yes, it was Millwall and Coventry at home, two games you'd expect them to win. But XG against 0.76 against Millwall, 1.08 against Coventry, and they had a penalty, Coventry. So I'm not too concerned about them defensively. I think Burgess and Wolfenden are a good combination. I think they probably give you a bit of a chance out wide because I don't think the fullbacks are amazing defenders. Leif Davis is one of the best players in the division at the moment, but a lot of that is going the other way. But this is a special team. It really is. And I think it'll be a big surprise for me if they don't go up automatically. And the first half, again, against Coventry, brilliant. They've now scored 24 first half goals. The next best is Southampton with 19. So I think there is quite a case where they take their foot off the gas in the second half. And maybe that's where they've been conceding at times. But certainly in these last couple of games, coasted through the Millwall game, coasted to a degree against Coventry. Mark Robins made three changes at halftime. His plan to stifle the middle of the pitch didn't really work, obviously, in the first period. But they're improving and massive win for Coventry, for Ipswich, given next five, Middlesbrough away, Watford away, the derby against Norwich, Leeds away, Leicester at home on Boxing Day. This is a frightfully difficult run for Ipswich. So to get these 6 points, incredibly vital.
Frightfully difficult. I like it. I like your little turn of phrase there. Did you know what a Trivella was though before this weekend? Because I didn't.
No, never heard it before until maybe saw it tweeted yesterday. Yeah, no idea.
Yeah. Go on then, give us the definition.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm assuming it's just an outside of the foot shot, isn't it? I mean, I used to like an outside of the foot shot. I never scored one as good as that. But I quite like an outside of the foot pass. You know, when you switch play, just put a little bit of Riz or Swaz on it. Yeah, used to love it, but yeah, I never knew it had a name.
The Trivella is a shot or cross taken with the outside of the boot rather than the usual instep technique. It can be used to achieve a certain amount of bend or curve or to ensure the ball reaches a particular area with accuracy and the right level.
I'd have instep banned from the football vocab. It's not the instep, is it? It's the side foot, is it not?
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'll contact the authorities and we'll see what we can do.
Do you know what I mean, though?
The instep's the laces and a side foot's your side of your foot, isn't it? That's the difference. The instep is your laces, right?
Never really known what anyone's on about when they're talking about the instep. To be honest, it shouldn't be in the football vocab, should it?
Tweet us at EFL, what is an instep?
The fact when we're talking about it, I'm not definitive, I'm not going to say anymore, but the fact that we're talking about it shows you that it's nonsense.
Yeah, just a quick one on Kov. On the school run earlier today, and chatting to a Kov fan on the way back. And
what were you going to say? You saw Peter and Love or something there?
No. But actually, someone who works for Coventry does have a kid that goes to our school, often in the old trackie. I think it's part of the backroom staff. Yeah, they said that they were disappointed that it changed the system. They'd moved away from something that had worked in the previous games to obviously go back with that box midfield. But there was also a little bit of frustration with Hadji Wright in terms of, you know, you look at his numbers and it's not bad. You know, I think he's got 5 and 11 or something along those lines. But I think there is a frustration among the supporters that this guy's maybe a bit too raw in comparison to Jokeres. And none of them, apart from Godden, which is a surprise, you know, they spent all that money on Hadji Wright, all that money on Ellis Sims. And the truth is, Godden is probably more reliable than the pair of them. So I think that is the great frustration at Coventry at the minute.
Not much frustration at Elland Road just now. Leeds United and Middlesbrough shared 5 goals, but it was greedy old Leeds who kept all the point despite Latte Last double, with Burrow who had to wake up and smell the coffee, etc. Latecomers, Clarkey, wouldn't have had much value from this game, would they? Because there were 3 goals in the first 7 minutes.
Oh, awesome. I love games like that. Absolutely fantastic, especially when you're there. It's all very, very exciting. But yeah, the it normally fizzles a little bit, doesn't it? But yeah, this was surprisingly enterprising. I think what happened here is that Michael Carrick is so depleted at the minute with defenders. You know, all sorts of defensive players are out. And obviously, they lost another one to injury, Paddy McNair, halfway through the game or before half time. They lost another one, Dyke Steele, to a red card. I think he just thought attack is our best form of defence here. Let's not sit in. Let's go toe to toe and see if we can outscore Leeds. It's a dangerous game to play, but that's the way Middlesbrough are at the moment, because they just don't have any real solidity away from home, and they're also short on their best defenders. So yeah, maybe we should have seen this game coming. But Leeds fly on, don't they? I mean, we've waxed lyrical about their front four for quite a while now. And it was another great game from them. Jorginho Rutter, 7 shots in the game. Somerville had 3. Pirou had 3. Dan James had a couple. You know, they are very, very enterprising. Obviously, 2 headers from Dan James and Somerville, which is a bit freaky given how small they are. I can't imagine they've got many headers in their career so far. So yeah, on they go. Is it with Rutter? Is it just me? But I think there's a little bit of, and I'm probably going to upset you here, Matt Davis Adams, Nottingham Forest fan. It's a bit of Stan Collymore about Jorginho Rutter. Is it just me, or can you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, he's got that. He's got that kind of ability to drive past people, I suppose. Yeah, and he's, I'd say, more left-sided, is he not? Left-footed? Stan Collymore was equally good with both, wasn't he?
Mm. He's got a maverick nature to him. He's massive, but travels with the ball quickly.
Yeah.
Clearly very skillful. I just think that they're very, very similar in players. And I hadn't seen him compared to Collymore previously. But yeah, I mean, Matt, you've seen a lot of Stan over the years. Stylistically, he's kind of similar, right?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. About 95% of Collymore's goals were get the ball on or near halfway to opposition players on you, strong enough and good enough with the ball at your feet to just carry it away from them and then drill one in from just inside the box, low into the bottom corner. So
just thinking about 5 goals he scored against QPR, you miserable, horrible man.
But yeah, look, yeah, good day for Leeds, and yeah, frustration for Carrick. But look, I think Latte Lath obviously scoring two good goals is a real boost for him. For Leeds, that's seven successive home wins for the first time in 24 years. So Elland Road definitely becoming a little bit of a fortress. I also quite like what they've done with Gray, you know, young Archie at the fullback position. It's been a problem area. Sam's identified that and spoken about it many times. They've used so many different players there. And what Archie Gray has brought is just calmness. He's not the world's best defender, I don't think, but he's very calm in possession. He makes consistently solid decisions. And that's just what the team needed, I think, along with Camara and Ampadu in the heart of that midfield, just sort of keeping things simple. They're getting there, I think. He's forming the basis of a good team, Daniel Farke. He said they were over-emotional in this game. Maybe that was true, but I can see a lot of positive signs about Leeds.
Yeah, Clarkie, I was just going to say, like, on the Middlesbrough stuff, you're bang on there. Like, you know, I watched them in that victory over Preston last week, and, you know, Preston didn't really lay a glove on them. But I came away just thinking how much fun Middlesbrough are, and how they basically don't have any defenders, well, anyone with any defensive bones in their body. You look at the makeup of the side, obviously the two centre-halves apart. You've got Barlasser and Housen as your midfield anchors at the moment, who are both nice footballers. Housen will try and get his foot in. Then you've got the two most attacking fullbacks you could wish to see in Bangura and Dyke still. They're both flying up the touch lines. And then you've obviously got a front four. So there's no steel there at all. It's probably more interest as to whether they can sustain it, or whether there will be a slight change at some stage from Michael Carrick, whether they can do some business in the window in January. Because I just think it's so open. It's so entertaining. They've got some brilliant creative players. It's great fun to watch. They were scintillating against Preston in the first half. But I think there's probably going to be a lot of games of the ilk that we witnessed at the weekend. I just think they're going to concede and they're going to score, and they're probably not going to have quite enough to find that consistency.
All right, we shall see about that. We are halfway through our weekend championship review. We're going to head to Hull next. Well, the Hornets stung the Tigers on Humberside as Watford, hurt and all, beat Hull City by 2-1. Hull had won their previous three at home, and Watford haven't been very good away. So a notable scalp. Liam Rossini said, Sam, it's a sickener in terms of the result. In terms of the performance, we were so much better than them in every aspect of the game. If you have 23 shots, but only 7 of them go on target, you score one and miss a penalty. Does that make you better than the Oppo?
Yeah, I think possibly in this case. I don't think it was incredibly one-sided. When you look at the level of Watford's performance in the first half, I thought they were very good, actually. Showed good character as well to respond to Hull City getting level. I think when you look at the quality of the chances as well, which you maybe highlighted there as well, Matt, I think that's a factor. Penalty aside, there wasn't gilt-edged opportunities getting spurned time and time again by Hull players. There was some speculative efforts from distance, maybe a couple better than that forced Aymer into some good saves. But no, I didn't think there was brilliant chances that Hull missed. So yeah, it was a really good victory for Watford. Only lost 1 in 9 now. Some standout performers. Kayembe was very, very good. Hoyt obviously scored the amazing goal, but he led for clearances, interceptions, aerial duels, tackles. He was absolutely outstanding on the day. So some really good individual performances. And the collective, they are improving, Watford, no question. And they'll be looking and thinking that this could be a season that they could maybe make it into the playoffs. Just obviously three points behind Hull in sixth at the moment. I wanted to highlight, all that said, I did want to highlight Jaden Philogene again. 9 shots in this game, and I've been doing some work last week. He's got the most shots per game in the division now, surpassed Chaplin at the weekend with his 9 in this game. I mean, he is so involved in all their attacking play. 11 goal involvements for the season, just on this occasion, obviously didn't come up trumps with the penalty. But I think it's in the attacking areas where they needed to improve Hull, where they needed to show consistency, more than 60 attempts in their last 3 games. So you would like to think that's going to start turning into goals, but no panic. Hull have been going really well, and this is a terrific little run that Watford are putting together and have put themselves into contention.
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? I guess the key thing for them was sorting out that whiffy away form, but won three of their last four. You kind of want to be doing this, don't you? Coming up on the rails second half of the season with nobody really paying too much attention to them at the moment.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it's been a slow burner, but I just think the lack of chaos is being really enjoyed by the Watford fans. Obviously, a manager that's showing different strings to his bow, if you like. You know, we thought he was going to be very, very direct and an uncompromising style, but they've been anything but that. You know, they're playing some nice stuff. I thought the link up on the left-hand side for the opening goal was very, very good. They've got a striker that gives them a platform to play into. And tactically, they got it spot on, I felt, at the weekend in terms of his changes, bringing on a third centre-half towards the end in Pollock to see the game out against one of the best tacticians, I would say, in the division. So, yeah, I think the supporters seem to have taken to Valer and Ismail. And the side, yes, maybe it took a little bit of time, but they're showing themselves to be a pretty cohesive unit now. And I would say I've got a good chance of maybe making it into sixth. That's the position that it would seem everyone's jostling for. And they've got a chance, certainly.
Well, Sheffield Wednesday still prop up the rest in the Championship. They did earn a morale-boosting win in the War of the Roses with Blackburn on Saturday. You know you're old when Danny Caramartri's son is opening the scoring. Here he is, speaking post-match.
I just saw Josh coming down. I knew that it were going to beat his man, so I knew if I'm getting in that area, the ball's going to come in, and obviously get a good connection there, and it's going in the back of the net. That feeling is indescribable. Running up and celebrating in front of a packed out Hillsborough is something that you just dream of as a young boy.
And I bet in these games, obviously been playing quite a bit recently, I bet it's one of those where the night before you're dreaming of that moment, aren't you, and waiting for that to happen.
Yeah, 100%, but obviously you don't want to think about it too much or you won't sleep.
Sort of sad, isn't it, Sam, when you realise that, you know, the players who you used to enjoy watching, their kids are now doing it. But anyway, let's focus on the good news for Sheffield Wednesday. You said that they were improving. It looks as though you were correct. This was a good win against the Blackburn side, who are pretty good on the road generally.
Yeah, brilliant few days. I think, yeah, some productivity, I suppose, for all the optimism that the Sheffield Wednesday fans have been voicing and feeling, you know, to get these two colossal results, really, a point off Leicester and then a victory over an excellent Blackburn team who, you know, everyone enjoys watching. You can't not. The patterns and the cohesion in their movements is really easy on the eye. They're a terrifically exciting team to watch. But yeah, this was a game with quite a lot of chances. I think it could have gone the other way. It was just an XG of over one for Sheffield Wednesday, but scored three for the first time in any competition this season. So it's a terrific win for them. And if you discount that Millwall game and the Plymouth Argyle game where they lost relatively heavy away from home, they're conceding just a goal every game. He's improved them defensively, Danny Rowe. Interestingly, he started with kind of this Pep Guardiola, I think it was last season, wasn't it, where he was playing the four centre-halves across the back. So certainly Iorfa's played a lot of football as a centre-half. Fainwo as well. Recall him being at Charlton as a centre-half. That's how he started. Had to make an early change with Iorfa going off for Palmer. But that's quite interesting, I think, an interesting tactical quirk in terms of what he's gone for. We spoke about Bannon needing the protection in midfield. Well, he's had that with Volks and Byers in the last two games that have yielded the 4 points. So that was interesting as well. And I think, you know, put them in good stead for this game and gone with the youth of Cadamartery up top. So some big decisions, some tactical decisions, which seem to have improved them. There's definitely an intensity about their game. And I thought that's been evident since he walked through the door. So really good win, really good 3 or 4 days, still loads of work to do. They need to improve away from Hillsborough. Lost 1 in 5 now at home. So just need to turn around when they're on their travel, start picking up some results, and they could have a go at it. But yeah, it's going to be tough because they're still well adrift. But yeah, he certainly looks like a manager, as I told Clarkie, who's going to go on and be a success in this country, I would suggest.
Called it, didn't you? Yeah. No, you did say that they were improving. I poo-pooed it. But
Adrian, the key thing I want to know here, your thoughts on this game. Did you notice that Josh Windass is back to celebrating goals again? Because so hard on that last season. This was his first one, wasn't it, since the playoff final? And he kind of, I didn't feel like he was at full tilt with the celebration, but he did think, I suppose I should knee slide. It's quite a big game. We're in the second tier again.
I did think exactly the same thing because I was like, hang on, that's Windass. He's celebrating. What's going on? So yeah, no, fair play. I mean, a few empty seats, weren't there, at Hillsborough? I did notice that. I mean, it's a cold day, I guess. But yeah, those that did come, yeah, were treated, weren't they? It was good. It was good. Obviously, it's better for Bannon when they got Volks and Byers alongside him, definitely. Centre-halves starting to build a partnership with Bernard and Diaby. They also caught Rovers on a good day. Rovers are a really good young team, but loads out. Just too many players out at the moment. And when the games come thick and fast like this, and you can't really field a bench. I think five of the subs were under 21 players that hadn't played for the first team. When you get to that stage, then the manager's just hamstrung. He can't change it, really. He can't do anything about the game. And those that do play are getting more and more fatigued because they're the only ones that can play. So I think they caught Rovers at a good time. But hats off to them. Obviously the Cadamatry Windass link up as well was pleasing. Bit old school, wasn't it? I saw a picture, they were teammates, the dads, weren't they, at Bradford for a while. So this isn't something new. Windass setting up Cadamatry. So yeah, love to see it.
Big one for 90s football fans. So that was Saturday in the Championship. On Sunday, David Wagner saved his job again. The American got his Jose on to sprint down the touchline, joining the celebrations as the Canaries bested the Robins in the bird battle in Bristol on Sunday. It's weird calling him an American, isn't it, Clark? He got 8 caps for the USA national team, but he was born in Germany and you kind of think of him as German. But that's not really what we should be talking about. We should be talking about the fact that every time he needs to get a win, David Wagner, he seems to do it, doesn't he? And it's not out beyond the realms that they could make a push second half of the season, right? They're only 4 points off the playoffs.
Yeah, they are in the mix. Yeah, and it just goes back to what me and Sam were saying earlier on in the season when we liked what we were seeing from them. They are a capable team. And, Gabriel Sara, who I've bigged up on the scouting report, he's a really important player for them. Again, in this game, spraying passes from a slightly deeper role. One beautiful one over the top for Ashley Barnes that he probably should have scored. So, yeah, they've got talent. They've got, a nice blend of youth and experience. And they've shown a bit of character, haven't they? They've definitely shown that they're still playing for the manager. There's no one's down tools. And it was really interesting that one of the tactical changes that he made for this game was to put Kenny McLean at the back, at centre-half. And his sort of clearance come long pass over the top for Adam Eder was the difference maker in the end. He sort of turns Zach Viner, and it's a foot race. And Adam Eder is a little bit quicker than Zach Viner, who makes a slight misjudgment. And he goes through and scores. You know, he's a player, Eder, that divides opinion massively at Carrow Road. But there's a player in there. He scored goals, good goals previously. I just think he can frustrate a little bit. But yeah, good character from Norwich, who really was second best for an hour, maybe 70 minutes of the game, but found a way to get the win. Obviously got a little bit of luck with the own goal from Tanner, and then and relied on Angus Gunn to pull off some saves as well to keep them in the game. And then Eder goes and wins it. So, yeah, big win, I think, for Norwich. Real frustration for Liam Manning. I think he was a little bit perplexed at the end as to how his team didn't at least get a point. But yeah, I'm sure they'll come good, Bristol City.
No midweek matchups in the Championship this time around. So it's Friday night, Coventry v Birmingham, and the next action in the second tier. There was one game in League One on Saturday. It's all Portsmouth take advantage of the absence of others. They cruise to a 3-0 win at Northampton to return to the summit. Sam, I always like to ask you guys the deep dive tactical questions on games like this. Wasn't it lovely to see a bit of snow on the pitch at Six Fields?
Terrific, wasn't it? Terrific. I think I've actually trained in that very ground in copious amounts of snow. I actually remember doing a session on the concourse during one particular snowy day during my loan spell there. So, yeah, that was nice. And I would imagine that this was close to falling foul of the weather. So looked like a decent surface in the end, and it got a magnificent display you got, say, from Portsmouth up against a Northampton side who had won three on the spin. And a week ago, we were talking about Portsmouth being humbled 4-0 at home by Blackpool. So this has been an incredible response from Portsmouth to go to Burton and win 2-0. And then to win 3-0 at Northampton without, of course, Regan Poole, Andrian that I spoke of last week, and now Colby Bishop. What a brilliant way to bounce back. And Yenge, the striker we spoke of early part of the season, in for Bishop, really good display in terms of his hold-up. 5 attempts for him. Christian Sadie's been a bit of a revelation for Portsmouth. Speaking to my mate, obviously, on their staff early part of the season, he was incredibly impressed with his start to life at Portsmouth. They've had him playing as a number 10, previously a striker during his loan spells. Excellent again in this game. Sean Raggett's getting a run now in the absence of Paul, and he gets the first goal and was very good as well. So all the changes worked beautifully. I thought from a defensive perspective, really bad goals to give away from Northampton. The first one, a free header for Raggett. Obviously, Sparks is sensational with his delivery. He's second, I think, only two players with more assists in the division now. So he does put it on the money. But free header from a corner, you don't see that too often anymore. The second, the goalkeeper, Max Thompson, comes rushing out, stays on his line. Then Paddy Lane's got a really difficult chance of scoring, makes it so easy for him to lift it. And Sowerby just with a giveaway in midfield for the third. So really poor goals, but this was as convincing a victory away win you're going to see. They were excellent. And looking ahead, week today, Portsmouth v Bolton at Fratton Park. Absolutely mouthwatering and set up beautifully. A win for Portsmouth, 6-point gap they'll have at the top going into the following week's game. So that's a great opportunity for them.
Yeah, it's interesting that, hasn't it, Clarkie? Because we were saying that we were maybe sort of questioning their stick around ability last week. But as Sam says, they've really answered that with back-to-back away victories and clean sheets too. But that Bolton game's going to separate the men from the boys.
Yeah, we'll see where they're at, because Bolton are scoring goals for fun at the moment, aren't they? Even in the FA Cup at the weekend, absolutely battered Harrogate. They're in really hot form. Went to Oxford, really tricky game, and showed the other side as well, Bolton, there to grind out a 0-0. So, yeah, that'll be the acid test, I think, for Pompey. But yeah, this was a terrific performance, because Northampton have been going pretty well, haven't they? No doubt about that, winning at Blackpool. But for Northampton, it's a bit of a bonus game. Really, the big ones for them are the matches against the teams in and around them or the teams below them. And they've been brilliant in those. They've won 5 of 6 matches against teams in the bottom 8. And that will be the key to their survival. They're 7 points clear of the drop zone, Northampton, at the moment. So they've quietly, without making too much fuss, given themselves a nice little buffer.
Let's stick with Portsmouth for our tweet of the week. It comes from Eric Eisner, who is the director of Pompey, according to his Twitter bio. He has put what looks like a stock image of the Portsmouth club badge, which I've never really noticed how much it looks like a smiley face before, but that's by the by. Eric Eisner says, strong all-round team win, 2 exclamation marks. Professional performance today. Another big 3 points, most importantly, exclamation mark. Big 6-point match on deck. Yeah, every league game here on in is big. Safe travels to the away supporters. Class as always. Everyone else, enjoy your evening. We keep pushing on, exclamation mark. Hashtag PUP. Is the most offensive thing about this, Sam? Big 6-point match on deck?
Isn't that a reality show? I'm sure that my other half watches that on deck. Superb stuff. Yeah, tremendous. Yeah, I've no idea what that is. I'm down there a week on Monday. I'm not going to pepper week today. Sorry, I'm not going to pepper Eric again. You've come for him a few times, but that is very, very odd, isn't it? And you don't like the enjoy your evening, do you, Matt? That's you that doesn't like that, do you? Why are you telling me to enjoy my evening?
So do you think on deck is like in the future? So like you're saying, yeah. Big 6-pointer.
So the Bolton game's a 6-pointer. So that's on deck. It's coming up. I do like the way Clarky, that he's kind of mixed in a bit of bog standard footballer's tweet with the away supporters class as always. So he's learning.
I mean, he's just tried to cover as much as he possibly can, hasn't he? First reply is interesting. Steve's the name, don't wear it out, whoever that is. I said, bring the company check, and then in brackets has put the American version of check on there, just so that, just in case he wasn't sure. Checkbook with you when you next come over, Eric, and get Alex Robertson here on a permanent contract before we get promoted. Buying
room,
now will
room
save
for a
money.
Dollar emoji there, wouldn't there?
yeah, exactly. Buying now will save money on next season's prices. You know, it's a plea, isn't it, from Steve's the name, don't wear it out. So that in a way is tweet of the week for me.
All right. Fair enough. That's just about going to do it for us today. I'll remind you again, though, before we go, about the offer from our friends at Quinbet. They've enhanced their UK welcome offer. You can now get a free bet worth up to £35. It is for new customers that sign up only. You can check out the full terms and conditions at quinbet.com/promotions or use the link provided. It is 18+. And remember, always gamble responsibly. If you'd like to give us a follow on social media, that'd be great. If you'd like to leave us a nice review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, that would be even better too. Thank you to Adrian and to Sam for their expertise today on everything from football to Riz. Thank you too for joining us, listening. We'll be back with you again same time next week. Until then, it's goodbye.